Blog Talk Radio.
Morning to you, man. Morning to your love. Africa must wake up, the sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This a day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now. Well, Africa must wake up, the sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This a day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now.
Hallelujah. In the name of our Son Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior and Redeemer to us all. Thank you, Abba, for allowing us to see another day. Thank you, Abba, for leading us, guiding us, protecting us as we went out into this world. And some of us who are home, you returned us home safely, Father. Those who are on route, protect them. Bring them home safely, Father. Father, thank you for allowing us to see such another Shabbat, Father. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your everlasting tolerance of us, Father. Thank you for constantly forgiving us, Father. Thank you for renewing your mercies to us over and over again, Father. Father, thank you for your chastisement. Thank you for keeping us on that straight and narrow path, Father. Thank you for showing us what is right, what is good, what is just. Thank you for just being everything to us, Father. In Yahushua's name, we give you thanks. Hallelujah. Amen. Shalom, family. This is Brother David Well. Welcome to Bible 101. And today we're going to continue looking at some parables. Now, this particular parable that we're looking at today is a straightforward one. You know, it's not a whole bunch to it. You know, it is exactly what it says, but the Most High put it on my heart to look into this particular parable. Now, it's in the book of Matthew, Chapter 18, and we're going to start from, and it reads, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his master commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their master all that was done. Then his master, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his master was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So, Yahushua is giving this parable to his disciples. And, because if you read before that, it was talking about how many times should you forgive your brother. He said, shall I forgive him 7 times? No, 70 times 7. Just keep on forgiving. So this is one of the things that he desires, he being our Heavenly Father, Yah, he also being Yahushua HaMashiach, our Master. These are things that he desires of his servants. Forgiveness. So that's going to be our focal point today. Forgiveness. Now, one of the things that we talked about last week and how faith was like a mustard seed and you had to grow it, it's a small amount and it grows. It was a small seed and you cultivate it and it grows. Well, we're going to look at forgiveness as a seed also. So let's look at this parable again. See, because at the beginning it says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. So let's say 10,000 talents is equal to $1 million or $1 billion, something that this servant didn't have, right? He says, but for as much as he had not to pay, his master commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So now the master is giving the servant forgiveness. He forgave him something. He forgave him. So let's look at forgiveness like a seed. See, this servant didn't have forgiveness at one point. Banned that by reading the story. But he was given forgiveness by his master. So that forgiveness, let's call that and look at it like a seed. So we're going to read something in the book of I didn't put it down. Oh, here it is. Good. All right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 6, all right? Now, forgiveness is like a seed. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. He says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now, think of it this way. Everything starts from a seed, right? Yahweh said in the beginning, let these herb-bearing plants bear seed. It has the seed inside of them. So, the plants were brought forth, and they bared seed. The seed came forth, and it multiplied. So now, you have this beginning, forgiveness. This master has given you forgiveness, and it's a seed. So, you're going to sow that forgiveness, right? It becomes a plant. It brings forth itself, and that one seed brings forth a whole bunch of seeds, right? And so as it goes forth, you pick it. Now, our brother Paul says, after you plant and you get these seeds, he who sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. So think about it. If you have seeds and you have a garden, if you just take a little bit of seed, throw it on the ground, it's a chance that some of those seeds are not going to produce, right? Because you're sowing sparingly. All of those seeds aren't going to produce. So let's say you get some come up, and then you sow sparingly again, and then you get even less to come up, and you keep on sowing sparingly, eventually nothing's going to come up because you're sowing sparingly. He said, but he who sows bountifully, who gives more, is going to reap more because you didn't put more out. So you just throwing seed, just dumping it out there, right? And it's producing a whole bunch. So you have more to reap. So think of that with forgiveness. He who forgives a little bit, only going to get forgiven a little bit. See, if you're a harsh, cruel person, don't expect forgiveness. Do not expect it. You know, and I'm speaking this from personal experience. If there's no forgiveness in your heart, don't expect to be forgiven. It is, quote unquote, human nature to deal with folks the way they deal with you. You know, and we don't like to look at it that way because we think we treat people good. For the most part, we think we treat people good. But if there is no forgiveness in your heart, don't expect to be forgiven. But on the flip side, if you forgive a whole lot, you can expect to be forgiven. Maybe not by man, but our Heavenly Father will, the forgiveness that we're looking for. That's who we're looking to please, right? Let's look at something else to continue that thought. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, starting at verse 24. Proverbs 11:24, he says, "There is that scatters and yet increases, and there is that withholdeth more than to meet, but it tendeth to poverty." Same token, he who sows a lot is going to reap more. He who withholds, going to be not given. you're going to be impoverished. That means you're going to lack. So if you sow a lot of forgiveness, expect to be forgiven. You know? But if you don't forgive, expect not to be forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness, how can you expect somebody to forgive you? If you're a cruel person and all you show is cruelty to everybody, wouldn't you expect, you know, it gets to the point where you say, that's just how he is. That's how style she is. And I don't want to deal with that person. How can you forgive a person? How can you expect forgiveness like that? If that's what you're doing, you know? What seed are you growing? You're not, I mean, how much are you sowing? You know? Because we're talking about forgiveness. That's all we're talking about. Forgiveness. You know? If you're not showing any forgiveness, how can you expect to be forgiven? And more so, you know, when we listen to the parable, folks who don't forgive don't give in. Let's look at something else. Let's go a couple. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17, it says, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. So if you have mercy, you're doing something good to your soul. Because, and think about the comparison he did. He says, to have mercy is to do good to your soul, but to be cruel has something to do with the flesh. And you're not doing anything good with the flesh. He says, you're troubling your own flesh. But when you have mercy, you're doing something good to your soul, that inner man. Because this is what the Most High is looking for, is looking to see, this mercy. You know? We get to the point where we don't want to deal with folks and we treat people the way they treat us, guilty of it. Just got reprimanded on it a couple days ago. You know, because you get tired of being treated a certain way, and you lash out, and you're not supposed to, you know. You have to forgive that person. You have to forgive people on a constant basis, you know. Thank Abba for his patience, because that's what the service is. Us being servants, talking to our master, Master, be patient with me. Be patient with me, please, Father. We're not done yet. You know? But we have to put forth that effort. We have to keep on walking. We have to keep on moving towards our ultimate goal, and that goal being Mashiach, who forgave all of us. You know? No one said it would be easy. But we're working for something that's beyond our imagination. You know? It was actually beyond the imagination of the prophets. They couldn't even describe what they were seeing, but they described it as best as they could, so we could relate to it, you know, because I've never seen clear gold, you know, when they describe some of these things that the Most High showed them, you know, it's beyond our imagination, it's beyond our reasoning, our scope of thinking. It's beyond that. But that's what we're working for. We're working towards. Right? Okay. Let's look at another proverb. Proverb chapter 19, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto Yahweh, and that which he hath given, will he pay him again." So, how does that tie into forgiveness? Well, compassion ties into forgiveness. All right? In the story, in the parable that Mashiach did, said, after servant asks for forgiveness, it talked about how the master, asked the master be patient with him and asked him for forgiveness, because that's actually what he was looking for. My debt is, be patient with me. I'm going to pay it off. So be patient with me. It says the master was moved with compassion. So that's what you have here in that parable. You have someone who is rich having compassion on the poor. Right? So he says, he who pitieth, he who does for the poor, has compassion for the poor, is actually lending to Yahweh. So that means when you give to the poor, when you do for the poor, it's like you're lending money to the Most High. You know, and I'm saying money because that's what we're familiar with. But it's like the Most High, like, you know, give me $20. And you lend the Most High $20, and he said, I'm going to pay this back to you. You know? When we do things for people who don't have, because it shows compassion for them. So how does it tie in forgiveness? Well, it's like the Most High is forgiving them for, and sometimes it might be you don't know everybody's situation, but sometimes people make mistakes that cause them to get into situations that caused them to be destitute of something, that caused them to lack. So those who have are supposed to do for those who don't have, supposed to have compassion. You know, forgive me, brother, for not having. Can you help me? Sure, no problem. And by you doing that, the Most High is looking at that as you lending to him. And he says he's going to pay that back. That's what he's going to do. So when we see people who are destitute, hurting, lend to them. All right? Now, on the heels of that, let's go here. He says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived. Yah is not mocked. For for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Put it out there. Most High ain't playing with you. Don't even get it in your mind that he's playing with you. It's not a game. Whatever you sow, whatever you put out there, that's what you're going to reap. All right? Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall all the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Again, what we just read. One was sowing to his soul. One, he was doing these things for his soul. The other one was doing something for the flesh. And it was troubling him. Troubling the flesh. That's Paul thought, corrupting the flesh. Whenever you corrupt something, that's trouble. You know? So be careful what you're reaping and sowing. Because that cruelty can come back to you. Cruelty can be something that corrupts your flesh. Right? It's a fleshly work. You know? He says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Let's not get tired of doing right, is what he's saying. He says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So, we're supposed to do right by everybody. If we see somebody destitute or something, we're supposed to take care of them, do our best to provide their needs, right? But he says, especially of the household of faith, especially your brother, your sister. When they're lacking, everybody come together and get at it. Because the people of the household of faith are never supposed to lack. Especially them. If you're going to do something for people outside of the world, outside in the world, right? That's great. That's great. That's kind. That's compassionate, right? Even more so, it's supposed to be those within the household of faith, those within Mashiach Yahushua. Because that's the household of faith. Those that he had called by his name and by his spirit. You know? Even more so them. They're not supposed to be hurting. Because just as like we were talking in the men's class about the priest and how some people, how he had these different things, he couldn't approach the Most High. So we was talking about that broken hand, that broken foot, and it was brought out that when a foot is broken, the rest of your body has to compensate for what that foot isn't doing. If your hand is broken, the rest of the body has to compensate for what your hand can't do. It's not doing. Because it's one. The body takes care of itself. It starts to heal itself. You put that cast on it, and all the energy from the other part of the body goes there to heal that part of the body. Because we have to get this broken foot healed so we can operate and function correctly. In the meantime, the rest of the body bears the burden of that broken foot until it heals. So likewise, we bear the burden of each other. We bear the burden of anybody who really is destitute, but especially the household of faith. The household of faith first. Then everybody else, whoever we can help. We have to bear each other's burdens. We have to have compassion on one another. Because if we don't have compassion on one another, then how are we going to have compassion on anyone else? If the people of the household of faith, as Paul calls it, they're supposed to be the closest ones to you. They're literally the ones, when you say brother, sister, you know, nobody's closer to you than your brother and your sister until you get a wife or a husband. You know, your siblings are the closest things to you. It's been looked at as a title for so long that, you know, a lot of times we don't look at each other as brothers and sisters. Because anybody who has a flesh brother and sister, brother or sister, and they hurting, wouldn't allow them to go without, you know? You wouldn't allow them to go without. Now, you know, there's like certain, you know, you have like some folks out there who might be hooked on drugs or whatever. But you're going to try to get them the help that they need, point being. You know, you don't want to enable them, but you're going to get them the help that they need. Let's put it that way. You want to show that compassion on them. You want to get them right. So if you got a brother or sister who's hooked on like drugs or something, you might not want to give them money. They might come at you, I need some money for some food. You might want to buy them some food instead of giving them money for food, because there's a possibility they could use it and go get high. You know, but point being, you want to give them the help that they need, you know. And it should be the same way, even more so, within the household of faith. Right? So, all right. Another proverb. Still talking about reaping and sowing. Proverb chapter 22, verse 8. He says, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. So now you got people who are sowing the wrong things, and they're not reaping anything back. You know? You're sowing iniquity or lawlessness or anything outside of the Torah. Right? So in this case, we're talking about forgiveness. The opposite of forgiveness, cruelty. No compassion, nothing. And what are you getting back? Absolutely nothing. You're reaping nothing back. Nobody's going to want to deal with you. You can't harvest anything. You cannot harvest anything because you're putting out, you're not sowing the right thing. You're not sowing something that's going to produce. All right? Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, starting at verse 1. It reads, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. So, if you have bread, that means you know, back then, you go pick your grain and mill your grain. You know, it wasn't like, you know, you had a supermarket where you could just go pick up some bread. No. You planted some seeds, you harvested it, you ground it down into a flour, and then you went to the process of making bread. It adds you some yeast, water. Excuse me. Sorry about that. You know, you go through the process of making bread, adding leaven and the water and all that stuff, kneading the dough and baking it. So, he says, give a portion of seven and also the eight. So, you made this bread, give it out some. You know? So, you had this forgiveness, and you sold this forgiveness out. Give it out. You know? Exercise your forgiveness. So when people come to you and you come into situations where forgiveness needs to be used, give it out. Say, give it to seven or eight people. Cast it out. In many days, it's going to come back to you. Right? He says in verse 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falleth towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. So he's giving two examples, right? Like today, it rained. When I was reading this, it rained. I was going, hallelujah. You know what's going on. The clouds got full, empty out the rain. You know? Same thing with us, with this forgiveness. People offend us in some way, shape, or form a lot. Some people are easily offended. So for those who are easily offended, they're going to need more forgiveness than someone who's not offended, because they're going to be using it more. So it would be more opportunities for them to forgive. So they're going to have to stock up on their forgiveness so they can pour it out, just like those clouds. They get full of water, and then they share their water with us. It rains, waters the earth, the bread comes forth, the plants grow. You know, we need it. It shares it with us. So the same way you get this forgiveness, stock it up. That way we can share it with others. He says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Now, when I read that, I got to thinking, when you're sowing, you know, you're throwing it out there. If it's a real windy day, I don't know if a farmer will do that. Because if you have this seed and it's a real windy day Are you going to throw your seed into the wind? Because it's not going to land on the ground. You know? And when you go to reap your crops, if it's raining real hard, do people reap their crops while it's raining? I don't think they do. Because one, the rain is going to help the crops grow a little bit more. But I think it would be harder for you to reap crops in the rain. So he says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of Elohim, who make of all. Verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So, in the morning time, early in the morning, forgive folks. Late at night, forgive folks. That's what he's saying. Withhold not thy hand. Early in the morning, sow that seed of forgiveness. Late at night, sow that seed of forgiveness. He said, withhold not thy hand. Because you don't know when, whether it's going to be good or bad. He said, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. You don't know when you and your spouse have a big fight late at night, right? To the point where we give that classic thing, you laying on the couch, or somebody on the couch, somebody on the couch, somebody on the bed. Nobody's forgiving nobody. Ain't nobody saying nothing, right? Nobody's saying I'm sorry. Nobody's saying I'm wrong. Nobody's saying forgive me, right? So a morning passed, nothing happens. Another a night passed, nothing happened. Somebody's waiting to hear something because we don't like to be in contention. If you're in a marriage, you shouldn't want to be in contention. Brothers and sisters should not want to be in contention with one another. The household of faith shouldn't want to be in contention with one another. So if you offend your brother, offend your sister, go to him and tell him you're sorry. Brothers and sisters, accept their apology and forgive them. No matter what time it is, if it's over the phone, it's face to face, because you don't know. That person might just be waiting. That's all you want to hear. I'm sorry. When I was younger, I held a lot of anger towards my father for things that he did when I was younger, you know, and things that I saw, abusing my mother and stuff like that. And one of the things that he would tell people was that he knew that he was wrong. He showed me a lot of wrong. And that's all I ever wanted to hear from him was that he was sorry. You know, that's all I ever wanted to hear. If he would have told me we were sorry, our relationship would have been so much better. You know, we could have moved on. You know, because he would tell everybody else this, so that means he was acknowledging the stuff that you did. But you wasn't acknowledging it to the people that you did it to. And that's all I ever wanted to hear. Son, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done all that. All right. You know, I can forgive you, and we can move forward. You know? So, in the morning, in the evening, you don't know what's going to happen. Because my father died without telling me that. You know? And then I'm feeling bad because of the way I treated him. And I can't tell him that I'm sorry for the way that I treated him. So it's no forgiveness on either end. Because you don't know if this person is going to be there in the morning. You don't know if that person is going to be there at night. You don't know. You have no idea when Yahweh is going to say, your time's up. You don't know. A lot of times we get into these beefs and these arguments and, you know, and then a lot of times when you think about it a little while later, it'd be so petty. You laugh about it and I can't believe I was arguing with you over this. I'm sorry. You know, but at the time, we're not thinking that way. So the Most High wants it to be, as we were told, at the forefront of our memory, forefront of our mind. In the book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 21, it reads, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. So, a wicked person will borrow from you and not give it back, right? But the righteous person is going to show mercy and give. It's going to be some folks out here who you are going to forgive, and they're not going to forgive you for what you do. You know? They're going to take all your forgiveness. They're going to do you wrong. I forgive you. Do you wrong? I forgive you. But if you do them wrong, you don't make a mistake, they're not going to forgive you. That's a wicked act. That's a very wicked act. I'm not saying be an enabler or someone who isn't using discernment. No, I'm not saying be used, you know. I'm not saying be used, you know, because your well-being, your mental health, your spiritual health is quite vital, all right? Forgiving people helps your soul, according to the word, right? But he don't tell you to be a patsy, okay? Recognize the things that's going on with you. You know, people who are trying to use you, all right? And don't allow it. Because it's going to be some people that's going to try to take advantage of every situation. Like we were just read, the wicked borroweth and don't pay back. Well, if you keep on lending it to them and giving 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 it to them, then you might find yourself destitute. So you have to use discernment. It has to be a balance. The Most High wants us to give, right? But he also wants us to be conscious of what we're doing. He didn't tell us to be a patsy, so for lack of a better term. We have to use discernment. He will provide, but we still have to use discernment. Don't cast your pearls among swine. That's in there too. All right? So let's go back to the book of Matthew. We're going to Matthew chapter 18. All right. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But as much as he had not to pay, his master commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very, very sorry, and came and told unto their master all that was done. Then his master, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his master was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Number one, our Master, Yahushua HaMashiach, forgave everyone for their trespasses. Our life is owed, period, to him, period. Everything that breathes is owed to him. That is the debt that we could not pay. The word said, what profit is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Every soul belongs to the Most High. Every last one. That's the debt that we can never repay. That's the debt that every time that we, Father, be patient with me, because our soul belongs to him. So therefore, he says, okay, I'll be patient with you. And likewise, we ought to be patient with our brothers and our sisters. We ought to have compassion. We ought to forgive our brothers and our sisters. Because if we don't, he said, the tormentors are waiting for us, who do not comply with this forgiveness rule. If you don't want to forgive, you will be delivered up to the tormentors. If you don't want to have compassion on your brother, on your sister, you will be given up to the tormentors. Why? Because the tormentors aren't going to have any compassion in you. That's why they are tormentors. We are under a debt that we can never pay back. Anything that a brother does to us is like that 100 pence, you know. It's like that the 10,000 talents, let's say that's $1 billion. The 100 pence is like a buck. And we lay hands on our brother for a buck, for a dollar. You know, give me what you owe me. Give me that dollar you owe me. I ain't got it right now, bro. Have compassion on me. No, go to jail. I'm gonna lock you up till you pay me that dollar you owe me. And when we do stuff like that, Yahushua looks at us like, are you serious? How can you say you love, don't see, when you hate the brother that you do see every day? You ask me for compassion. Father, forgive me. Father, do this. But you don't forgive your brother. You hold on to grudges for years and years and years. Brothers and sisters, one another, who we see interact with every day. And then we say, Todah Rabbah, Yahweh. I love you, Father, and all this. That and another. It's not right. And that's something that he wants us to work on. Because those who do not work on it won't be seeing his kingdom. They will be seeing the tormentors. Like I said, brothers and sisters, this is straightforward today. You know, straightforward. Because forgiveness is a big thing with the Most High. Forgiveness is, think about it, he sent his son down to pardon the world. To forgive the whole world. So it's a big thing for the Most High. Thing with it. And we ought to not have any faults, any issues between one another. And when they do arise, because they're going to arise, we are flesh. I'm not saying that, you know, we live in a unicorn land where there's rainbows and butterflies and the trees are made out of cotton candy. No, brothers are going to have issues with brothers. Sisters are going to have issues with sisters. Sisters are going to have issues with brothers. Brothers are going to have issues with sisters. It's going to happen. But we have to forgive one another. That's the other part of it. And truly forgive him. You know? Because that's something that he, in that very last verse. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive everyone his brother their trespass. If you don't, you don't come to grips with this, if you're not being truthful about this, you will be delivered up to the tormentors. You can't fake the funk with Yahweh as far as far as this forgiveness goes. If it's a problem, say it's a problem. If it's something that you didn't get over yet, say it's something you didn't get over yet. But you're working on it. And I think that's the biggest thing. You know? Some things is going to take longer for people to forgive you for. And this is something that I learned from my ex-wife. It's going to take longer for some things for you to forgive certain actions. But as long as you're working towards it, it's possible. You know? As long as you're working towards forgiving that person for those things, it'll get done. You know? And at the same token, you can't keep having the same offenses. You know? You can't be that person falls and doesn't pay back. You can't do that. You know? So it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. But even still, you have to constantly work at it. It might not be tomorrow that you forgive a person. You know? But forgive them. Work towards it. You know? Because I gave you the example of, you know, with me and my father. I can, you know, but those issues are done. I took it to my Heavenly Father, and He took care of that. He gave me peace of mind. He gave me the calm. He gave me His shalom. You know? So, even if that person isn't there, work on it. Take it to Abba. Take it to him. There's nothing that he can't handle. Nothing. You know? He loved the world so much, the world and everything in it so much, He gave His only begotten Son to forgive it. To pardon it. That we may be with Him. Period. You know? But that's the end of the lesson for tonight. You know? May Abba increase our ability to forgive. May Abba give us peace of mind. May Abba continue to be patient with us. Ki leolam kasdo. So, it's your brother Daywell. Bidding y'all, excuse me, family, bidding you Shabbat Shalom. Enjoy your Shabbat. Yahweh sends you His peace always. Shalom.